first item on the agenda is the pledge.
The pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to this meeting. Thanks for coming. I appreciate that you wanted to do this. I think it's a good tradition to say, how can we work together and make promote youth sailing and youth boating and all. So I think this is very much where my heart is, and I think port staff. So Jim, do you want to start with a little recap of items relative to the program?
Well, I think that most of you were, all of you were at the table. We made some good inroads, I think, this year in trying to figure out how to make the sailing club sustainable without charging you for 12 months. So I think the formula we're working on worked really well for the port. Hopefully it worked well for you all too. I know Ray was in touch with a lot of your instructors, and it seems like everything on the dock went well. There are a couple things that we're looking to do, maybe put some rollers on the dock to be able to get the larger boats up on the dock. So those are some things that operationally we're still working on. But from the port's perspective, it was a very smooth year. I love to see the kids on their break playing in the park, playing ball or whatever. So. Anyway, I have really nothing to report. I wanted an open session and get an idea from you all on what the port can do better to make the program better.
Okay, well, what we thought we'd do, we're going to keep this very, very informal.
Sure.
So we don't have any presentations. We've got some information we want to share with you. Rita's, for the last 2 years, has been acting more as our program manager during this summer. Jimmy, here to see up here. During the summer. So I thought what we'd do is just have Rita start off and talk about what happened in 2016.
Okay, well, in 2016, everything went really well. There was, that's a short story. We really didn't have, as far as I can tell, any single incident regarding our relationship with the port or with parents or with the community in terms of any negativity or any concerns. We had a good relationship with Ray. In fact, I have to say, all of your staff was so helpful, putting up the banner on that wall and just supporting us with signage, and it was really appreciated. Our instructors, I don't think you had any issues with. We had two for most sessions, Liam, Neer, and
Santiago.
And then we brought in, we had five at one session toward the end. We were trying out kids. We had Annalise Pardee, who teaches down in Paul's Bow, and Matt, who teaches down in Paul's Bow. And so we just had a good time. The kids had a great time. There was about, 39 sessions?
Well, it's actually a little more than that, because I kind of went through and tallied up.
Yeah, 40.
We had a couple of scholarships, and we had a few discounts. But if you count all the noses that I could count in general, 47 is what I could have counted.
And it was really kind of a scary enrollment process. We couldn't seem to get kids to sign up in August, because this past school year, they started school a week early. And for those of you that might not be aware of that, it impacted how parents decided to take their summer vacations, because the kids had to go back to school before Labor Day. So, and football season started early, so it was kind of a competition on whether we're going to get kids in August. So we persevered, though, and we did get kids in August, and we started an adult program in August to fill in some of the gaps, which really was new for us. But the minute I put a sign up, Rick and I went to Albertson's, put a sign up on the corner, and someone pulled their car over and was interested. So we found out there was an interest in that. And as far as the port goes, said, there was really nothing that I can put my finger on that was a problem in terms of support down there. I can't think of anything else you could have done for us. It was great. Does any of the other members of the board have any?
I think from an operations standpoint, I think not only did we have more students sessions this year, but I think one of the big successes we had were the instructors.
Yeah.
And these are the local high school kids that, that like sailing and they want to be part of this. And now we have five. I think we have five or four.
Well,
or five.
We have four, but four, I mean, but they're not all. We aren't guaranteed that they're all going to come work for us, but we've got enough interest. We have accomplished from that first year to the second year, we accomplished getting local kids as our instructor, and that as our instructors, and that was or assistant instructors, and that was a big key. And in that list of board members I gave you, Jim, you'll see that we are, and Jerry can talk more about this, but we're wanting to involve a parent of one of those assistant instructors on our board, so that we can continue to get the community support and get the high school involved. In terms of equipment, maybe Rick, you can talk about, we added two new boats. And
well, we have our eight Opties that we got the first year. We picked up two FJs, which helped us out with the teens, older kids, and the adults. We have one chase boat. We had another one, but it was defunct, so we got rid of it. So we just have one chase boat. And we picked up a Fatty Knee. We're not exactly sure how we're going to use that.
But we are
looking for a couple to four more FJs.
And we need another chase boat.
Another chase boat.
We really need the other boat, because the other instructor chase boat, coach boat, because when you're running concurrent programs, when you're teaching the 8 to 12 year olds at the same time you're teaching the 13 to 17 year olds, you need two boats. And even when you're just teaching a large class of 10 or 12 kids, say they're all in opties, it really helps to have two boats out there. So that's going to be a challenge or a goal of ours.
Does the fleet expansion, if it goes that way, affect the facilities in any way that we need to know about? Like, if you're putting more boats on the floats, and if you're needing more for another chase boat, how is that? Is there anything we should be thinking about to support that when it comes?
I think with the current configuration of the floats, we should be able to handle probably up to six, and correct me if I'm wrong, up to six FJs plus the eight opties.
Well, we could always build a rack for the opties.
Yeah.
We could build three, you know, I mean, we've got eight of them, four. We could stack four. I mean, those are stackable, and we could make a lot more room on the float.
At this point, yeah. They would all fit on there.
Yeah,
right.
They all fit.
So, that you can take care of the stacking and racking facilities, but there's no change to the floats per se that you see needed.
I'll correct myself. I didn't say I could take care of it.
I mean, you need racks from us, I guess.
Maybe the port could take care of it.
Yeah, let's take a step back, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if we racked up the opties during a class week, that means every morning somebody's going to have to take their opties down and put them back at night. And that gets pretty cumbersome, especially if there's just one or two. So we need to think through what the facility requirements would be. But at first glance, it looks like from a sailboat standpoint, we're good. Now what we need to figure out is how do we get the chase boats out of the water? Because the one chase boat that we did have in the water, when we pulled it out at the end of the season, had quite a few barnacles on it. And that's where I come back. Barnacles, if they have a way, they'll find it.
Yeah, and if we have two chase boats, you know, then...
Yeah. So Walt, the answer is we don't know at this point, but it's something we have to look at.
I think if we can get a roller on the edge of the...
We'll talk about that just before you finish.
Okay. So that might accommodate.
You mentioned rollers.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
So my concern is going to be weight.
Yeah.
You know, that dock right now, if you get four or five people, the freeboard is pretty low. So we want to think about, you know, do we need to add flotation?
Or the other float. The newer float has more buoyancy.
Yeah.
Is that adaptable to that purpose?
The other thing I'd like to explore with the club, and we can talk about it today, is doing a joint grant for a new float to make something that works for the program, where the club and the port co-sponsor that. So we want to be thinking about that, and now's a good time to be thinking about that,
because
grants come out after the first of the year.
So Jim,
do you have a lead on something like that as far as
facility? RCO and ALEA both do grant applications for junior sailing programs.
Okay.
So we can start with the state funding.
Okay.
You could always. Their conference was up in Bellingham and Bremerton.
PCC?
PCC, the other one.
NMTA.
NMTA.
Right.
They have grants too, and I talked to them once at one of their meetings. They are capital geared, which this would be, and they're very interested in the idea that we might be applying for something like that.
There's also federal money in sports, and I think it's the Department of Agriculture, but I can chase that down. It's in my notes somewhere.
I think the float's okay for this year. It'll probably work, but we need to be thinking long term.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a sort of a change, not on the float, but something I meant to bring up when I was talking about the program. We need to put together a safety plan of our own, but we need to do it in conjunction with the port, because there was one incident last summer, this past summer, and I was right there, so I was able to handle it. The grandparents were fine, but in terms of going forward, I think the Sail Kings & Cove needs a safety plan, but it would be good if we drafted it, maybe gave it to you, and you came back to us, because the smart thing to do is call 911, but then we need to know how, in the interim, how to handle anything that can go wrong.
We should share our safety plan that we already have
with
you all, so that you can start. You'll have a template of what one.
And we have a template from U.S. Sailing Association, which we can kind of maybe mesh the two.
Sure.
But I think that's something that the port and Sail Kings & Cove should work on together.
We need to do that early, because it could mean using port assets too. Say there's a big storm comes up and you need more than your chase boats. So we would need to run it by council and that sort of stuff. So, you know, what's our engagement, and get a good early lead on that.
Yeah.
So Jim, why don't you send me a copy of your safety program, and then I'll work with the board, and we'll have a coordinator.
And I'll get a copy to the board of the U.S. Sailing Safety Plan template, and then we'll.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think it's we've been kind of lax in not actually getting it done. So the other thing is, there is U.S. Sailing, which governs everything we do basically, has a coaches clinic in January, and I don't know if anybody from the port would be interested in attending one or two of the days. It's a 2-day thing. Where is it at?
It's over by Lake Washington.
Oh, it's not in Hawaii.
Is that a certification?
It's a
Saturday. It's for the community. It's for community sailing programs, the people involved, the people that run them, the instructors, and it's just a lot of information. But it's not a requirement by any means, but I just thought I can send you the dates, and if somebody wants to attend a portion of it, you're welcome to join us.
That was really informative last year. Picked up a lot of good information.
Great. And you get to hear how other communities are integrating with their ports and with their other people in the community to run their programs. So,
just circling back on grants a little bit. As you notice, the floats at Silverdale were installed by grants, where they do the races and all of their. But their grants have constraints, and that's why we need early notification, because it could mean reconfiguration of our gates, for example, if a grant requires unimpeded public access. So the grant thing has some subtleties that we need to get it early, because we're going to be redoing our gates. So I'm not saying we do it that way, but it's important to know what constraints might come with grants to replace the floats.
Need to know what the boundaries are.
Yeah.
Good point. Okay, so if there are no more questions about kind of our end of the operations for 2016, Jack, you want to talk about the financials?
Yeah.
With a smile on your face.
Yeah, a smile on my face. Well, yeah, there's good news and everything. We started out 2016 with about, with about $7,600 in the bank. With tuition income last year with about $7,700. We had donations, both tangible as well as cash donations, equals about $10,300. And total expenses of $17,500. When you do all that math, we ended up the year with about $3,800 left in the bank. And that was a successful program. Again, we had about 47 noses that you could count, whether it be scholarships or adult programs that were truncated in time and those kinds of things. And the average tuition was about $169 a session, you know, for a training session. And it was a successful program. We built out our goals in a couple of work sessions for the board, trying to figure out what 2017 and beyond 2017 might look like. And we think to really grow the program, we need to get into racing, get more teens involved, get the high school involved. To do that, it takes some additional capital equipment in the form of FJs. Now, we aren't any on the market we can even look at on a used basis right today and say, well, we know that we can pick them up for $5,000, $5,500, but we kind of have a range of understanding what the cost is, be it a new boat or a used boat, so I've done some averaging. So right now, based on our 2017 goal list, we're trying to move the tuition income up to $14,700 from $7,600, so about double. You got to have more sessions, more boats, more classes to accomplish that. I've taken some general averages and looked at the additional instructor compensation. If you have more classes, you're going to have an extra assistant and maybe another week's worth of, you know, another 33% of our budget that we spent in 2016 on certified instructors, and came up with those numbers. And it looks like our operating expenses, including two FJs, would be around $34,000 compared to $17,500, which means we need to raise, if we got two more FJs, $15,000, almost $16,000 in donations. We got $10,000 this last year, so both the tuition and the donation numbers need to go up if we capitalize and do two FJs. I think collectively we think if you end up with four, you really can't. It's a much better package with six than four as far as what we can offer to the community and grow. So in an ideal sense, we're trying to get four FJs added to the fleet, which would mean we would need $34,000 in total donations $46,000. I can't even track my own numbers. We need $27,900 in donations instead of $15,900 in donations if we went to the four more FJs this year. So it's an aggressive plan. It doubles the tuition. You know, I'm using $6,000 as a placekeeper per FJ, assuming we can get maybe a mix of used or, you know, two new used, whatever's in the marketplace out there.
You didn't mention the chase boat costs.
I didn't mention chase boat costs.
Yeah, that would add to that.
That would add to that, right.
And last year we got a chase boat, which is old dinghy, but was refurbished by a company over in Seattle that gave us a very, very good price on that. Anything above a certain price, they absorbed it. On the FJs, you know, what we're finding is that it's a bit of a convoluted issue. We were in the running to get to be able to purchase two used FJs from sale. Sandpoint. They were selling 12 of theirs, and it turned out we asked for two, and everyone else combined asked for another 12, so there were 14 requests. We turned out that we didn't get either of our two, and the primary reason is that all the other programs had racing, high school racing programs, and the FJs fit into their existing programs more than our budding program. So we're kind of... it's a catch-22.
Just comment on that. A young fellow has approached us several times. North Kitsap does have, they are registered with ISSA to have a program. They've just not been able to activate it, so the kids sail out of Paulsbo. There was a young woman, I think maybe...
San Luis.
RD.
who's graduated now, who is promoting this, but they are held as an inactive racing, I won't use the word franchise because they don't pay it, but they've registered and done that, but they haven't had a critical mass of students and parental support to do that, but they've got the paperwork in. So we've pointed in your direction.
Right. And that's good. And I've talked to Thad, and we're trying to get a meeting set up, but Annalise is on the swim team, so her time's all booked up for a month. As we've looked at the high school racing program, there are different ways those programs can be initiated in a high school. If it's the high school does it itself through their athletic department, it's a certifiable big deal, cost-wise. And probably our school system is not ready to take that on. A step down from that can be a club activity where their parents get involved, but it's still a question mark as to who supplies the equipment. A step down from that is where nonprofits fit into this program, whereby, in our example, we could have the equipment, we could make it available for our program during the summer, but it can be available for the high school racing program in the spring and in the fall, which is when most of the high schools have their racing program. So there is an opportunity that we could really find a win-win on this.
Okay, so you're looking...
I have to do some business as a comic.
Okay, sure, got it.
Well, they're clearing out. There's actually two types of sailing racing. One is individual, and with individuals, it is just that. The other is team, and with team, you need two sets of three boats. Almost all of the clubs around this area in Puget Sound General now are using the FJs and running that class. With the two we've got, we could get possibly some kids started in individual racing, but we really need the additional FJs and preferably six so we can actually do team racing.
They all need to be the same, right? I think people were surplusing
they're dumping different clubs are dumping vanguards and different boats, and we've kind of taken this
purist.
We're kind of purists. We want to have the FJs. If we're going to build, if we're going to build a team, we want to build them with the boats that the kids are using versus you know, spend money on boats that people are discarding and not using anymore. And maybe that's not exactly. Right.
That's okay. I think it's.
So, has anyone from the club contacted Jake Beattie at the Northwest Maritime Center?
Contacted who?
Jake Beattie. So Jake is the executive director of Northwest Maritime.
I've probably talked to him way early on. I know I talked to someone over there.
They've got racing programs. They've got a lot of access to equipment, boats, and I'd be happy to make that introduction for you. But. He's the one that can actually help put together a program to help us.
Yeah, I don't know that we've done our budget, but I would offer that Silverdale does provide a chase boat to the crew, I think the crew team. And I don't know how they do that. I don't even know if it's legal. But the boat that you see down there is used to support the rowing programs, but it's a port boat. So there may be some ways we can help. But I don't know that
much
about
it. You're talking about North Kitsap Sailing and Rowing.
No, I'm talking about the...
The Parks and Rec.
I'm talking about the boats that's sitting at the dock in Silverdale next to all those sailboats.
Yeah, I think that is the...
that's the Sailing and Rowing Club.
It says Port of Silverdale.
There's two chase boats and a sailboat.
Yeah, we can check that out and find out what are they doing. Is that something that we could consider? I guess I got different answers, but just to know that there is potential there. And I personally think that, you know, in off-season we can use... Or so we got a big boat. You never know.
We have a big red boat. We could use the chase boat.
And then the Olympic Sailing Foundation. Evidently gives boats.
I met a gal last year at the coaches' clinic with the Olympic, and I've been trying to get back in touch with them. If you look at their website, every time that you get a link, it comes up with somebody else's present. So it sounds like they're rotating a lot.
I can't find where they're physically located, but I do believe that the Parks and Rec are using boats.
Yeah, they are. They're
from
using
the
boats from
Foundation.
So what is your capacity? You said 47 heads this year.
Oh.
Can you do 100?
We can do 80 to 100 kids, yeah. We were so fortunate. If we were so fortunate as to be able to run from the first week in July to the last week in August, we could easily run 80 kids through that program.
Our forecast right now is, without a racing program, is 70 for the tuition targets, 90 with a racing program over a two-month window. And if I could just go back to the grant conversation, if I could, because we had some success with grants, and Jerry worked his fingers off trying to get grants last year, but, you know, we're the brand new program in the block, and we don't really, not high on the priority list out there, and many of them are targeted towards, as you mentioned, capital investment versus operating expenses. And, you know, I think the best thing possible for us to make this program succeed is to get four more FJs in the system, used or otherwise. And four more FJs means for us to break even in 2017 with the aggressive tuition targets we have, we need $28,000 worth of donations. And, you know, the board and other parts of the community have been coughing up personal checks, but we're going to need a capital investment grant somehow. And if I were going to start prioritizing where we'd look at grant applications, you know, in conjunction with or with the support of the port, and you're talking about a grant application maybe on capital investment for the float. If the float will survive for this year, and maybe next year we need to really address it. Maybe this year the focus should be on the boat capital investment versus the float capital investment.
Sure. The money doesn't come in until a year from about when you put in your grant. So the state will set its budget this June. So when we talk about grants, we talk a project that's probably
in 2018.
A year down the road in terms of what at least to get the money. And
clearly, so we're going to have fundraisers in addition to grants. We're going to have fundraisers, several throughout the year.
The only grants that come in quickly are private grants. There's some organizations that they've had projects not go through or whatever, and they got money they've got to just expend before the end of the year, and that's where you get short-term
money.
That's
where Jake can help you, because he's got ties to the Satterberg Foundation, who does water activities. So those are the kind of grants that will fund immediately almost. So we should start that dialogue.
Yeah.
But I agree, if we're using government grants, we are talking 20
years. You need to tell us what help you need in supporting your applications. I don't know that we can go to private entities, but it depends on the grant. But we want to do everything we can to help you have a successful program.
Walt, I appreciate that. And when we've written the grants, we've written it from the standpoint of partnerships within the community, and certainly highlighted the Fort's partnership, so that it does appear and it is seen that it's not just a group of individuals, but it's a more of a community effort, including the Port, including the Kingston Cove Yacht Club, and including a lot of private donations. And I think the broader we can make that base, probably the more successful we'll be. The successes we've had in donations have been the private individuals or private organizations like Northwest Maritime Trade Association has given us $2,500. We got a smaller grant from Northwest Brokers Association. Anything that West Marine or the state, we're not in that ballgame at this point.
You can try for the Rotary grant.
Yeah,
for us, it's growing the next generation of marina residents or tenants, so it's a business proposition for us. I know Jim's very concerned about the gray hairs on the docks.
or no hair.
Or no hair.
The glare. But anyway, it's a business proposition for us as well as the right thing to do.
Well, that's the way I feel about it, too. I feel like it's the future of the yacht club, for instance. I mean, these kids, who was it that I talked to? Who was it? I can't remember for sure if it was Annalise, but she started sailing, and she got so into it, her parents finally sold their powerboat, bought a sailboat, they leased a slip. You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing where you want these kids to grow up and be in that world.
Some time ago, the ISSA sailing racing team, they had a regatta here in Apple Tree Cove. So maybe they can actually, you can have some participation without having a full fleet, you know, or have some, I don't know, we have facilities to support as many boats as they have to launch to do that. But I recall one happening maybe 5 years ago.
You'll see on our goals, our five-year goals is to support the sponsor and to support the regatta here. And I think it's a great opportunity. As I've talked to people that have run the regattas, the bottom line is that the hosting club or organization has the six equivalent sailboats, so people don't have to bring their sailboats from wherever. So that becomes part of our driver to get the six FJs.
Yeah. Go back to boats.
Like the base one, yeah.
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 It always goes back.
Yeah.
Can we help you in your marketing for students? Is there anything...
What
can the port do to help get the word out?
I have to sit down this very soon and start putting together a marketing plan for this coming summer. And yes, the answer is yes. We'll figure out how to incorporate your participation in that. To tell you the truth, the first couple of years, you know, we got started really late the first year. And last year, we did more of the same. But we've got to get a little more creative, more publicity, more, you know, more newspaper articles, more press releases, more events that involve the community and to get the kids in. Now, the good thing last year was we got kids from Mukilteo, Linwood, Edmonds. Yeah, we had a whole class from the other side. And those kids, we have to pursue that more this year. And that's a good lead-in because we have those contacts now. And I've got a pretty substantial database where I can, you know, get started right after the holidays.
So one of the things I think I mentioned to you, but tell the group, we were all at a PCC conference with three publishers for the three sailing magazines, basically, 48 North, Northwest Yachting, and the online magazine, Three Sheets, Northwest. All three of them want publicity and articles to put in their magazine.
Okay.
So, I think this is a perfect opportunity where we can utilize the Kingston Cove Sailing and the Port of Kingston together and really make that bigger impact if we can get at least two feature articles on what we're doing. And I'm glad to hear we're attracting kids from outside the community.
It was awesome.
These magazines don't just want to hear about Little Kingston.
Yeah.
They want to hear about what we're doing regionally for junior sailing.
No, I had a football coach bring his kids from, he comes here in the summer. He was from, I forget, even further away. It was another town over there. And he brought a couple of kids. And he helped me out in August. I got in contact with him. He contacted me. I contacted him back. And he brought in three or four more kids. Or was going to, and then he ended up, I think it was three altogether, his two and one more kid. But I had to discount the tuitions, you know, at that point to get them in. But if we do it the right way ahead of time, we shouldn't have to do that. And we should. There's plenty of kids over there that can walk on the ferry from Edmonds. And for your information, when the mothers of these kids that came for that week, they couldn't find enough to do in Kingston. They hung out while their kids were taking the sailing lessons, and the lessons last from 9 till 3:30, so they needed a whole day, so
yoga classes at the Village Green.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, really, it's a whole economic development opportunity if we think about it in those terms. I mean, it's a long time coming, but yeah, they come over and spend their dollars having lunch, shopping in our stores while their kids are taking the lessons. It's a cool idea.
Jim, was the ports in Kitsap still thinking about a booth at the boat show?
Next year.
Just if we ever do that, the booths that work the best that have video footage of kids' sailing programs, that gets people who are walking down the boat show to look at the booth. So next year, if you had some video that showed all the fun people are having on the waterfront, that's a very good attractor. We're thinking about a booth, not this year, but next year in collaboration with some other ports. So just think about that, tuck that away. It does help sell, helps attract people to
That's a good point, Walt. We are going to participate with U.S. Sailing in their booth this year.
Oh, okay, great, great.
And your point about the video is well taken. I went over with them to Palsmo at the beginning of the summer where kids were signing up for different activities. And we had a bunch of flat flyers. Nobody was interested. All the tables that had videos, people were flocking to and picking up information. So, you know, that's a good thing to think about.
That's a good idea, yeah. And I mean, that first year we had a great video of the kids on the dock capsize, learning to capsize the boat. Those are spectacular videos. They are so fun to watch. Kids yelling, screaming, the boat's tipping over, the instructors yelling. And the kids get really behind all that. They have a blast. So that's a good idea.
Are you linked on our website?
No.
I don't think so.
No, but we're not.
Because we just changed our website.
We just changed our website.
And our website is really, that's another thing we need to really work on. Because Sail Kings & Co's website is just a landing page. They can email me from it.
Okay, we're redesigning ours, so there may be some opportunities there.
Maybe we could use help redesigning ours. Who's used to doing yours? have a lot of money to spend.
I noticed last year at the boat show there were several ports and yacht clubs that were together, and we talked at the board meeting, at our last yacht club board meeting, about the possibility if the port has a booth down there that maybe we could, and in fact maybe Sail Kings & Co, we could all kind of get together and see what we can.
You're thinking about not this year, but next year.
Well, this year doesn't sound like you're going to have a booth.
Well, it's a little late to be even trying to get a booth, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
But when the time comes.
Yeah.
What's the order of cost magnitude for a booth?
10 by 10 is $800.
Pardon?
$800 for a 10 by 10.
For the whole time.
That's the cheap part. It's the labor that's the expensive part. Staffing, you've got to staff it 12 hours a day. You have to be there 12 hours a day for 10 days. It's just a lot of money.
That's a lot. Yeah.
We can help you with that.
Yeah, and that's what it helps.
Some of those commissioners can go over there just to.
Just so you're all aware that the director of Paulsville and director of Brownsville and I have been talking about doing a joint booth and doing a bigger booth, like 10 by 20, where we talk about the ports of Central Puget Sound and doing a passport program and stuff. So we could fit in, especially if Paulsville is doing something and or Silverdale, possibly.
If your thing materializes, we could have a hybrid of volunteers and staff. Staff could help set it up in the morning, maybe take it down and still equip, or whatever you do in the evening. But we could probably work out something that would reduce our labor cost a lot. We see them being done quite routinely. Thanks.
I've only ever gone one day in a given year. How many days is the show?
10 days.
10 days.
It depends if the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl or not. Then they cut it down to 9 days. Yeah. But and that happened one year.
Yeah, so should I put like 9-10?
Yeah, we kind of got a little bit of field, and that's great. From a financial, any questions about the financials?
Well, I didn't hear an ask. So are you asking for financial support at this point? That's a very, kind of a slippery slope. Legally, we need to make sure we don't do anything. We don't have anything budgeted. So are you asking for anything in that sector from the port?
My question was, can you donate to a nonprofit, or do you have requirements that...
We have a state constitutional that prohibits expenditure of funds other than for the old and infirm. However,
that's the board.
That's the rest of us.
However, we do have the issue. We're trying to create the next generation of boat owners. So depending upon what it is and how it is, we may have some legal authority to do that. Again, it's not in our budget at this point. But that's something really for Jim to talk to the attorneys about.
The RCW is pretty clear. It has to provide tangible benefit to the port. It's got to be tangible benefit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I only know this because of what we went through in Port Townsend, giving money to the Northwest Maritime Center. So, and Carolyn Lake was our attorney, and we put together a nonprofit policy. that's very strict, but it's doable, but it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take the entire commission to adopt that policy. But like Walt says, we don't have any money budgeted for it, but there is an avenue in state law that will allow it as long as we can demonstrate tangible benefit.
And it could be more.
Example of tangible benefits.
It would be tangible provides tenants for our facilities.
Or Chase.
We're growing our future generation. It's tangible benefits that if we do this, it's going to bring 20 people to the port.
Can I ask another quick question then? If we need a Chase boat, does the port need a boat like that they could let the Sail Kings and Cove use during their season versus us having to go out and buy?
Those are possible things.
Yeah, I think in kind is a little easier than in cash
in
terms of what's the shared benefit.
And we would only be using that boat during certain hours during a certain period of time, so it's not then the port. But I guess the port would have to know that they needed that boat.
Yeah, the port would have to have an independent need or justification for buying another boat.
But that's why we can do the discount on the space, because you're giving us tangible benefit through advertising and PR. Those are real tangible benefits to the port, advertising and PR.
So maybe we should contact Silverdale, because when I was down there the other day, I took this picture, and there's two Chase boats and one sailboat, and it says Port of Silverdale right on it, if anybody would like
to
see.
We're
going to
check that out. Yeah. I know they rent out that lot full of boats in the summer for a very nominal charge, but that's something different. They run a rental, someone runs a rental out of it. But Jim will look into what Silverdale does and see how what that arrangement is.
Since we know all the trouble the Port of Seattle got into, not all ports do things legally. So doesn't mean that Silverdale's doing this legally.
Well, to answer your question, we did not come today prepared to ask for money, but on the other hand, we're never going to turn it down.
Sure. I just wanted to know when you said financial, there a request here?
No.
Please.
Okay. Well, it's good to let you know that we have $3,800 in the bank and we need $6,000.
When we started this meeting, Jerry said we didn't bring any data. I just brought a promise statement for this year.
I think, though, the idea of providing...
So the board can see that we're at least solvent, you know, we're not in there red.
Providing support with sunk capital, sunk resources and such, and staff can help and all, is easier for us to discuss, because that's sunk cost. It's not,
When it comes to donate cash, the attorneys are going to be all over that, because, particularly that word donate, that sounds too much like gift, which we can't do. But finding ways, like Jim came up with, for in-kind support that has a reciprocal benefit. If everybody's thinking along those lines, I think we'll have a lot easier chance of getting it blessed.
We might have access to grant money that you don't, that could be used for your projects, because we're an official entity. So,
have you thought about sponsorships on boats?
Well, we have done that.
That's how we got our 8 boats.
Yeah. I mean, sponsorships from big companies. I mean, in Port Townsend, for instance, PSE was a big donator. You go to a company like PSE, $8,000 to them is nothing. And Kingston Community contributes a lot to PSE. So going to big donors like that, or the banks, Columbia Bank or Kitsap Bank or one of those, they might be able to help.
Liberty Bay Bank.
So, anyway, just an idea.
Well, Jim, why don't you and I continue this conversation and kind of do some brainstorming and kind of see where that might take us? And Walt, if you'd like to figure out a way to contribute some money from the port, that we're not going to turn it down.
I think Bruce is saying over my dead body, over the lawyer's dead body. So,
well,
but
that's why I brought up the Chase boat, because that makes sense. I mean, you guys own the boat, you need the boat for your operations.
We'd have to look at it.
We use the boat from...
If you could convince my wife to let me buy a Boston Whaler, I'd let you use it. But that's going to be harder than getting Bruce.
What's her email address?
What
size motor do you want?
Yeah.
No, no.
I
want a 17-foot
Montauk. I had one for years.
did that pan out, the boat from Paul's boat? Rita?
I haven't actually pursued that. I got so blindsided by Thanksgiving, but I am going to.
Okay.
That's just a little Sabbath, which is great. It's another little boat.
I don't know if it worked this year, but when Polga was running it, when the instructors were having engine problems, Dutch helped them out because he's a marine mechanic and he knows that stuff.
Those are the kind of things we can
and,
do.
And that just to know we've done that.
Ross is having trouble with engines.
When the hose boat instructors and their outboard would not start or whatever, and it was something that didn't require an overhaul.
That's what Rick's for.
Okay. We do have skilled mechanics on staff.
I know, that's great. Yeah.
And that has, we've done that before. But I don't know if it was legal or not.
But that's much easier to do than having a canceled check.
You bet.
But if we can help with website design, if we can help with marketing.
Well, that would be really, really helpful. And if you could talk to me about that, because I got a kid, he works at the theater, Matthew. You've seen him at the, he sat at Starbucks with me and just made a page for me, and I gave him $60, and that's the extent of our webpage. I mean, it's not very good, but at least it's there. And
let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's really an important issue for us.
Earlier, Jerry, you mentioned the five-year plan, the regatta. Are there other elements of the five-year plan that you could share with us?
Strange that you should ask.
A good show.
Let's not set up.
Good job. Yes, why don't you pass those around? What we've done the last few weeks is after the program, we all had a chance to catch our breath, said, okay, where do we want to be in 2017, and where do we want to be in 2022? So we looked at it, our goals, broke them down into different categories, but focused on goals for 2017 and then the five-year plan. Where do we want to be in 5 years from now? And more than happy to talk about any of these, but as you can see, we've divided those into seven different categories: enrollment, staff and volunteers, budget, facilities, equipment, marketing, events, and partnerships. Certainly, the partnership that's evolved between Sail Kingston Cove and the port has really been a very, very positive from our perspective, and I think from what we're hearing from your perspective as well. And I think it's a real positive for the community. So I think we definitely want to keep pursuing that. One of the things that I'd like to flip over and look at the five-year plan under budget, you know, part of it is, in my mind, is where do we as an organization, as a nonprofit, want to be? And if you look under budget in a five-year program, one of the things we want to have out there is a goal that we can say our revenues from our program will equal our operating costs. You know, if you take out the capital cost, and if we can get to that point in 5 years, we have made a significant step in this program. In terms of not only what we've done, but certainly in terms of sustainability. Well, I don't plan on going through these in detail, but some of them are stretches for us in terms of the number of kids we're talking about, the purchasing equipment. Certainly, a chase boat is number one on the under equipment, and then additional FJs. We've talked about that quite a bit. Marketing, fundraising events, partnerships. Under partnerships, there's a discussion there about Kingston High School and the school district. Certainly, with the enthusiasm of at least two of the students, Annalise and Thea, you know, I hate to waste that enthusiasm. So if there's a way that we can work with those students and additional students to find something and figure out how can we work on this together and make it work, I think we as a board really need to be looking at the youth and say, okay, this is where we want to be. We want to take advantage of that enthusiasm. So we want to start looking at that kind of a partnership as well.
Jerry, just quick, if I understood Walt a minute ago, somebody from Colbo had approached you, a student.
No, the same person.
It's
just that our students here are sailing in Colbo because we don't have a program on
them.
Okay.
And I don't know where they live.
Well, they go to Kingston High School.
Involving the two high schools, whether that's a way to get things off the ground.
I can give you.
It's my understanding that there are four high school students at Kingston High School that participate in the Paulsbo Parks and Rec program, sailing program, racing.
I can give you contact info that I had of the adults, parents that were involved in the sailing racing team.
Okay.
Application.
That'd be great.
I mean, it may be old information, but I have that.
Why don't you give that to Rita?
I'll dig that up.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Something I thought about, maybe collaboration. It's in our interest that the marina tenants operate their boats safely. And that could be maybe participation in your program. And in fact, that is a big issue in the marine industry, where people get a new boat, but they don't know how to sail or whatever. And they're looking for resources. So there may be some connections between us and our moorage and adult sailing programs that help serve the port need by having educated boaters out there instead of people who are crashing into my bow pulpit, and then when I turn my boat around, my stern ladder. Yeah. But just something to keep in mind. There is a connection with adult education and moorage tenants that may be useful.
And I don't hate to sound like a broken record, but the Yacht Club has just had some discussions with the local power squadron.
Great.
Come in and do classes, and there probably isn't any reason to think that that wouldn't include community members and tenants. And maybe even some port commissioner.
So that's a good point.
With big bowsprits.
With adult sailing, are we looking at continuing that program? Because there are some limitations to grants if you include adults.
Yes, it's kind of, we've talked about that. Yeah. It's a double-edged sword.
Okay. We have discussed that. I don't think we've come to a conclusion at this point, because there
are
pros and cons. One of the pros is that it really gets more community involvement in terms of what we're doing, but the cons are there are negatives in terms of what we can do then.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're aware of that.
Could you segment the adult program in some way, segregate it essentially, so that you are writing grants for everything else?
Gets a little fuzzy because now we're still using the same facilities at the port,
same
boats, equipment.
Same instructors.
Yeah. So the commissioners know, I don't know if I briefed you on this, that they have to pay leasehold tax, 12.84% on the $750 they charge in rent. So there's a way to get around that, to apply for exemption. And the state auditor basically said, sorry, if you're doing adults, we're not going to exempt you. So they've lost that exemption because they allowed adult sailing programs. So there are other grants in the same way. They're for youth sailing. And so,
but one thing, going back to Mary, your point is that I guess if you go to the extreme, and hopefully attorneys involved here won't be listening, but I guess...
That's all right. He doesn't give legal advice.
Oh,
opinions.
Okay. One way to do that would be to have a separate corporation that taught adult sailing, and then we could lease or rent our equipment to that other program. So it's now separate, but then we still have the common facility at the port.
Yeah.
So it gets...
Because when... This past summer, the number of especially women adults that came and said,
absolutely,
I really want to do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but then they didn't
really
show
striking.
Up.
Yeah, but
the NMTA conferences, we normally hear about adult boater education. We don't hear too much about youth. They're interested is in growing, in educating people who go out and buy boats. So when you contact them, you may see what resources they have for adult education.
This is something we can bring up at the coaches. Sailing and how they've handled it, because there are sailing organizations out there that lease their boats to families on the weekend and teach moms and kids to sail at the same time, and they have all kinds of programs. So we just have to figure out how that impacts their.
Shoal does a marina day,
and
people come down for the community and get on other people's boats and they go out.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe they'd be on your boats, but whatever they actually have that type of activity.
Well, I had those moms that brought their kids over from the other side that said, next year we want to take classes with them or at the same time, or we want a mom's class while the kids' class is going on. So it's that kind of thing.
Do you have, running down the path of grantable activities, what I know that we have talked about supporting scholarships to the program. Is this something that you could go for a grant on to do, to provide scholarships for kids taking the program?
I have not seen any grants focus on that.
The grants through U.S. Sailing don't address that.
Okay.
And that would be more of a need-based
mm-hmm.
I've thought about trying to partner some way with the Boys and Girls Club and giving grants to kids over there. That one got very fuzzy because you're taking
mm-hmm.
it away from their daycare program.
Right.
So,
you know, our two local casinos have, or the two local tribes have grant programs, and they might be interested.
That might be somewhere.
We've applied to both of those, both tribes, and got turned down.
Do it again?
Oh, we will.
Yeah, we're going to just keep doing it.
My point is they didn't jump at it. So.
So how many of your folks, of your students this past year were scholarship students?
Couple.
Yeah, two.
Just two.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually hard to
find. There was a discount
on
two.
Yeah. Well, I recall the conversations about how do you create policy that actually works, you know. So
actually, our policies are very lenient. We don't expect proof of it's really on your word.
But that doesn't give you any money. That's basically a gifting of that scholarship.
That's correct. But what it does do, some people are willing to donate a scholarship fund where they might not be willing to donate
exactly.
otherwise.
And we've got people that have donated the money for a scholarship for a child.
Have we addressed the facilities equipment long-range goal of Ascend and Flow? And we're going to look into that. And
look into some grants.
Hopefully we can look into that in a way that's timed with the grant application cycle. So I think that's balls in our court and see what resources are there. But we would need to know, it's best if it's no different from a permitting standpoint. I think it's square footage of coverage, but the Silverdale Hall is very expensive.
If we use grading. So if we grade it, we can expand
yes.
it.
Yeah. It nonetheless was a very expensive flow over there. But that's the rules now. So, but that's a long-range goal, but it's kind of a nearer term. Got to start working on it.
Yeah, the long-range goals really just meant that they were not in 2017.
Right.
So that could be starting 2018, depending upon what might be available.
It's a biennial cycle, though. It's a two-year thing, so you got to catch the train when it leaves the station or you wait a year.
And that's a fair point, Walt.
So this, just saying that we need to move that up, the initial steps.
You know, that's a good point, because it could be a great community project to build a new float, where the community builds it, and Kingston Lumber and other people donate materials, and we get guys,
Craig Powell.
I mean, those kind of guys can build a float in a week, and
less.
So those are the kind of things we need to think about. How can we do a community party to get together to do this, rather than going to a contractor and say, "Here's a $100,000 float."
Bet. That's a great idea, Jim.
And if you have that leeway, we can certainly make it happen through
how long did the Fenton float last?
Nonprofit.
1960s. The Fenton float. That was built by amateurs. And it was over on the other side of the cove. Gosh, it's been 20 odd years now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean it won't work.
Since Sonny Fenton was in high school.
And part of the issue will be taking that old float apart.
Mm, you could sell it.
Moving that float would be.
Moving it is going to be.
It's high risk.
Well, that's our asset.
We would worry about the disposal and all that. If there were a new float to go in there, we would have to be on our dime to get rid of the old one. So find a way to do
what's that. The dimension on that float?
God, I want to say 40 by 80. I can't remember the.
It's not 40. It's probably more like 20, maybe 25
by
80.
It's 80, 60.
Long.
I think you're right on that length.
Yeah.
I think 80 is
length. The length. And
right.
Because it's two floats put together,
right.
Bolted together.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then the separate float.
We can't have any bigger footprint, but I don't think that's even in the car. There's no reason to have a bigger footprint.
Yeah.
So that's the constraint.
I have a last question, unless we have other burning questions. Of everybody at the table, who's gotten an FJ in the last 20 years?
Who's gotten?
In an FJ.
Who's gotten in one?
Well, wait a second. Does that count if it's sitting on the float?
No. In the water.
No, I haven't really gotten got one. And, sure. And that's a really interesting question, because I don't know if I could get out of one.
I've raised to get in, you can
get
out.
I don't know if I can get out.
Well, I think what was your time frame?
20 years.
20 years. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been coming in one. But I think maybe...
Oh, in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
Oh, this is something I've talked to you about. Unsure sailors want to sit in a boat and not on a boat. And an FJ is maybe a little dicey for a senior person. And the whole idea of moorage, you know, the Rhodes 19 or something like that, is problematic.
Well, it's in the plan. That's why I looked at keelboats.
Yeah, that's
in the five-year plan.
Yeah, because that's, Jim's got a good point there. Yeah, maybe if you've been on boats all your life, but if you're a new person.
Yeah, you're not going to want to. Yeah. But the keelboat, we have to have one, that a small enough one that has no engine, or else we have to have a captain on board. So, you know, it's like...
No, you get it.
Yeah, but we need like a 20,
oh, well,
a
Ranger,
Cal 20 or a...
A Ranger would have drop keels, Ranger. So you know, so you could get it in and out of there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. But I just...
No, I have no desire to go on the FJ.
Yeah.
Jim, I try to schedule Johnson. Time at the end of the summer, and things got out of whack, and I couldn't do it, but I really would like to do exactly that, to get in one of those FJs. Now, I've sailed a lot, but an FJ is a different kind of a beast. It's a very, very tender boat.
You should get in the bike.
Maybe, Jim, you
and
I could go out together.
I'm doing a presentation at the Port Townsend Yacht Club about my Boat of the Year award for my boat. Told Mary that I'd be happy to come to Kingston Cove Yacht Club and do that presentation. I think I'm doing it in April in Port Townsend.
That'd be great.
So I might, if you got a spot in May or June or something, you want somebody, I'd be happy to talk on that. It was an interesting experience, for I was 40 years old at the time, to design a 17-foot racing boat and win Boat of the Year with it. So,
great.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
Any other comments on the five-year 2017 goals? If not, just to kind of summarize.
Just one question. Your program manager, you're going to bring one aboard?
Well, we need to figure out what that means. The last 2 years, Rita has been pretty much the program manager. But the downside to that is it really consumes her entire summer, which is not fair.
Okay.
So we need to figure that out.
So that would be probably the principal contact with Jim on issues that we've been talking about here.
Could be an instructor. Yeah. The U.S. Sailing has a new level 3 course that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Butch, but that takes the instructor and gears it toward managing the program as well as being a lead instructor. And so, you know, who knows where Liam is going, but it's possibility that it could be an instructor.
And to that end, one of the things we want to do is get Andrew Nelson here to talk about some of the details around that, so that we can pick his brain, as well as talk about team racing programs.
Yeah,
and when we do that, we want to expand that to just not our board, but other interested members within the community.
The other item that comes in with racing is a coach. Racing coach. Whether there's somebody out there who wants to volunteer their time every afternoon.
That's the high
or
school.
Or does somebody want to get paid to be a racing coach?
I've changed the rules since the last time I raced.
But you can't do a team unless you have some kind of a racing coach.
I was wondering, in terms of in-kind stuff, when Paulsbo was here, a volunteer maintained the floats as well as the boats. Help pretty much do that, and I don't know if that was from the family or not. And I don't know, can there maybe some in-kind stuff that you can do for us that we can get do for that? If you're helping us maintain facilities that we would otherwise have to maintain with our staff, there may be some aspects of that. He just got a handle of family issues and finally gave up on it a couple years ago. Yeah,
we can can look into it.
Yeah. I know you do a lot of work down there.
So looking at the longer term goals of staff and volunteers, I'm interested in the intersection of this year's racing program and the volunteer racing coach being somewhere beyond this year.
Well, this year, the 2017 racing program, we're really starting with the younger kids in the Opties.
Okay.
That's a program that we think we can bite off, and and we've got enough kids that have now, some of them have gone through two summers, and so they have a little bit more skills, a little more confidence. As far as the longer term, in terms of volunteers for racing coach, now that gets into the whole idea of how do we, Kingston, Sail Kingston Cove, a nonprofit, fit in with potential high school operations.
Okay.
And as I said before, I think the best way to do that from our standpoint is we could have the equipment, people donate, get tax donations, their deductions, etc. We can use that during the summer for our program, but make the equipment available in the spring and in the fall for the high school. So
right.
It's a win for them. But then someplace along the line, unless Jimmy's going to turn the years backwards, we need to figure out how to get a racing coach, somebody that knows what's going on.
And what is the function of trustees?
As we were discussing expanding the board, which in the past had been seven, we now decided we're going to expand that to nine. The comment came up about, well, maybe we, someplace down the road, we might want to have trustees to on the board that could then be liaisons to different efforts outside. We haven't really ferreted that out enough to say that's something that really makes sense or it doesn't. If we need that kind of manpower, we might just expand the board again. But we don't want to get too big, make it too cumbersome. So that's an issue that's out there for further discussion.
When you said high school, I also heard you say another maybe more feasible alternative was students from the high school that are running in a program that's separate from the North Kitsap School District because of the feasibility of setting that up. Is that what I heard you say?
Say that again.
When you say a high school program, there are programs that use high school kids participate in from a high school, represent that school. But the actual program is run on the auspices of an organization other than the school district. And I thought I heard you say that might be more feasible than trying to...
That is what you said.
Is that what I said? Okay, let me clarify that.
I think that's what you said.
You know, the way I see this progression, because to get to a high school racing program from where the high school is and where we are, I think it will be a progression. It'll be probably the first step would be talking to... And I've done this with Patty Page and the athletic director, saying, hey, maybe step one is let's figure out how you can just have a club program and start it that way. And if we have the equipment, then certainly that fits in with what we want to do during the summers. Now, as to how that operates through the high school in the fall and spring is something that would have to be part of that whole discussion. But then as I've looked at this... and other programs, there is an evolution. So then once you go from just a club program, then it does get elevated maybe even to a varsity program in a high school, which is now a great lead-in for these kids going on to college for college programs. So as to how that might unfold, it's still very early in the discussion phase.
Okay. One reason I'm asking is I think our current agreement would probably cover you running a racing program. But if there's another organization involved, we'd have to look at the current arrangements and work out an interlocal agreement or something. And sometimes those things take time.
Yeah. So what we would, certainly in 2017, it would just be our program. And it just be, that would be it. Now, maybe 2018 is where we might want to start looking at how do we integrate that, assuming we can get the FJs that we want, how do we integrate that into the high school program? And that then becomes a further discussion.
I
any other comment? From our standpoint, I think last year was super.
Nothing negative to say.
We just want to do it again.
We didn't talk about the new rate. So the commission approved a 2% increase on everything. So your rate's going to go up 2%, which is like, I don't know, $12, $13, something like that. But I wanted you to be aware, and it's not only you, it's based on the kayaks. So their rates went up 2%, so mortgage went up 2%. So I just wanted to let you know, so it wasn't a surprise when we do the new contract.
Okay.
And Jim, we didn't talk about the written agreements that we have with the board, and they do come up every year for annual review, and it would be, I think, real positive for us to review those agreements and see if we can't maybe write them so that they're a little more cooperative, a little more user-friendly, and a little less contentious.
So the old ones remain in effect until superseded?
Right.
So it's not, we can do this as you feel comfortable doing it. It shouldn't hold up the startup of your program.
No.
No.
And it hasn't last year.
Yeah.
And I'll find the rest of the cards.
Okay.
That's all I have.
We are, just so you're aware, bringing the gates up to the top of the ramp. So that's going to probably happen the next 6 months.
Oh.
We're considering on AV dock putting a code so that it can be, can get in with code. Don't necessarily want to do it on the rest of the slips, but because of the access we need for small boats, it's easier to manage with a code than a key card. So we'll keep you posted on that.
I would like to tell you how delighted I am to see you at this point.
The feeling is mutual. It's been great. Yeah.
We survived 2 years.
And yes. Your grants might be more forthcoming with the history now.
I had a problem where the inflatable was flat, and one of your guys went and got a powered pump compressor, drug it all the way down there, hooked it up, and pumped up the boat for us.
Okay.
Just like that. Not a question.
There's never any question.
I have the best staff
in the
world.
And they never dinged me once for parking in that
loop. Yeah, I'll go behind the fire truck.
That worked out really good, too.
I was like, oh, boy. I better not leave my car there too long. And then, you know, one thing would lead to another.
So if the Nordstrom family was going to run a port, they'd run it like this one.
Thank you. That's a nice compliment.
Thank you.
I have to go be with your wife now.
Yeah.
We got to have a Christmas party. I hear a couple people are coming. We're going to light up about half a million lights in a couple days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what Gloria's doing. Oh, yeah. It's this weekend.
Okay.
Saturday. No way.
This is my time.
Is there any other business for the Kings Cove Sailing? Okay. Any staff comments? Any commissioner comments? Is there a motion to adjourn? Our next regular meeting, our next is Wednesday the 21st at 7 p.m.
Thank you all very much.